yet noise of obviously artificial origin did convey one unmistakable message. We are here. Perhaps the Syrians were waiting for an acknowledgement, the electronic handshake required by many communications devices before they started transmitting intelligence. The Chrislamic zealots, the reborn, as they were later to call themselves, had a much more ingenious answer, though not an original one. In the early days of communications theory, it had been pointed out that pure noise could be considered not as meaningless garbage, but as the combined total of all possible messages. The reborn had a neat analogy. Imagine that all the poets, philosophers, and prophets of mankind were talking simultaneously. The result would be a totally indecipherable torrent of sound, yet it would contain the sum total of human wisdom. So it was with the message from Sirius. It was nothing less than the voice of God, and only the faithful could understand it, with the help of elaborate decrypting equipment and abstruse algorithms. When they were asked exactly what God was saying, the reborn replied, "We will tell you at the right time." The rest of the world laughed, of course. Though there were some apprehensive grumbles when the reborn built a kilometer-wide dish on the far side of the moon in an attempt to start a dialogue with God, or whatever was at the other end of the circuit. None of the official space organizations had yet made such a move because they had been unable to agree on a suitable answer. Indeed, many thought it would be best for the human race to remain silent, or simply to broadcast Bach. Meanwhile, the reborn, confident of their special relationship, beamed prayers and homage toward Sirius. They even claimed that because God created Einstein and not the other way around, they wouldn't be limited by the velocity of light. Their conversation would not be handicapped by 17-year time lags. The detection of Kali had for the reborn nothing less than the force of a revelation. Now they knew their destiny and prepared to live up to their name. For at least a century, few educated people had believed in resurrection, and the prophet Fatima Magdalene had wisely avoided the issue. Now, said the reborn, as the world was coming to an end, it was time to take the idea seriously. They could guarantee survival, at a price, of course. Millions were already planning to emigrate to the Moon or Mars, but both destinations were already setting up quotas to prevent their limited resources from being overwhelmed. In any event, only a few percent of the human race would be able to take this escape route. The reborn offered something far more ambitious, not merely safety, but immortality. They announced that they had attained one of virtual reality's long-sought goals. They could record a complete human being. All the memories of a lifetime, and the current map of the body that had experienced them in a modest 10^14 bits of storage space. However, the playback, the literal resurrection, would still require decades of research. Even if there was any point in doing so, it couldn't possibly be completed before Kali arrived. No problem. The reborn had already received God's assurance. All true believers could beam themselves toward Sirius via the transmitter on Farside. Heaven was waiting for them at the other end. This was the point at which most people's lingering doubts about the reborn's sanity evaporated. Despite their undoubted technological sophistication, they were obviously as crazy as all the other millennialists who, with monotonous regularity, had promised to save their particular disciples when the world came to an end next Tuesday. From now on, the reborn could be regarded as a rather sick joke. Their antics were of no concern to a planet that had more serious matters to worry about. It was an understandable mistake, and a disastrous one.